656-693-93.
How did you feel doing some prep for this? You're like, oh man, we're back at it.
It was nice. I felt like almost like sports were back, and I was getting into it. So.
Sports. Sports are almost back. Sports, sports.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Darlington's a fun track. I went there in September of 2001. Hopped on a plane, I believe, September the 9th of 2001. Flew back home.
Airing every day from
noon to 3.
Really?
Yeah. I was on a plane in early September.
Dodged a bullet or a couple planes, but
yeah. A couple days later, and who knows?
On 1340 WKGN.
That'd be a scary feeling, even if you weren't in the attack, to have been on a plane that day.
Yep.
Like, whoa.
Oh, I know.
Would you have stopped the hijacking?
What are you doing, Ken?
I don't think so.
Let's not turn.
We're turning left into the World Trade Center.
Oh, my God. All right, let's go to break. Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines, Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thank you, John. Lionel Messi is back. La Liga set to restart on June 11th. How about that?
Soccer going to be back in full speed, full swings.
You told me.
The league gets in ahead of the Premier League because they're doing the 17th, so La Liga is going to get out there a week ahead of them.
Yeah, you mentioned the Premier League yesterday, and today we have La Liga. So that's tremendous.
Soccer. It's back.
Soccer, yeah.
It's better than nothing, bro. I don't know why you keep hating.
I'm not hating.
I don't know why you keep hating.
I'm not hating. I know it's better than nothing. Tiddlywinks, better than nothing. Chess, better than nothing.
Okay.
Minor League Baseball has cut hundreds of players amid this pandemic, according to sources from ESPN. Hundreds more expected to lose their job as the sport grapples with the near certainty that the minor league season will be canceled.
Yeah, your boy David Price. I guess he's not your boy yet, but he's a Dodger now.
David Price?
Yeah, he's a Dodger now. He was a part of the Mookie Betts trade. I saw yesterday that he is paying out of pocket. He is going to pay out of his money $1,000 during the month of June to each minor leaguer in the Dodger system.
Really?
That's pretty cool. I don't know how many people are in the Dodger system. You might have a better idea of that than I do in terms of how many minor leaguers they have, but he is going to give them $1,000 a month to help them stay afloat.
That's nice.
It's really nice, and it's not his place to do it. It's sad that the billionaire owners aren't doing it, but David Price has made a lot of money, so it's good of him to step up and help out. It's also kind of crazy because, I mean, he's just now got to the Dodger system. It's not like he's like it's not like he's Clayton Kershaw, and who has, been a Dodger staple.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is his way to buy some good fanfare or, some good team camaraderie and stuff like that. Maybe he just knows that these guys are going to struggle. Maybe he's just a good person. I don't know, but shout out to David Price.
A CNN reporter and camera crew were arrested in Minneapolis as they reported on the protests live on the air. And they were arrested by Minnesota police live on the air. Did you see that?
I saw the picture. I didn't watch the video.
Pretty crazy. Things got pretty wild there last night.
So what happened? Why did the reporters get arrested? Just because they were somewhere they weren't supposed to be?
I guess so. I don't know exactly what happened, but...
Or was it because...
I know it was live on the air.
I thought we gave journalists kind of a pass.
Well, they're supposed to be the whole freedom of the press kind of thing, right.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Carson Wentz and the Ertzes from the Eagles, Zach Ertz, and then, of course, the U.S. Women's National Team, Julie Ertz, they all have expressed their thoughts on the matter and spoken out about George Floyd. You've started to see some other athletes do that as well. But those three athletes all took to social media to express support.
What three were that?
For the African-American community. Carson Wentz and Zach Ertz and Julie Ertz.
Okay. Yeah, and you saw a couple of the days Ertz before family. You had like LeBron and some other black athletes. But yesterday you
had some white athletes.
Had some white athletes, and that's important. I mean, it's important. Like, that was, you know, that would have been important with the whole Colin Kaepernick thing too, as well, if more white players would have stood behind Colin Kaepernick. It helps when it doesn't look like a race issue, rather it's just a issue. So good of Zach Ertz, Carson Wentz, and Julie Ertz for making their statements.
Yes.
Chase. Have any Vikings spoke up? Have we heard from any Minnesota Vikings yet?
That's what I was wondering yesterday. I don't recall hearing anything from Thielen or Kirk Cousins, any of those guys.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe at some point. It'd be hard to stay quiet about things if you're in that city, you know?
You would think so.
But maybe that's the route they're trying to take. Local radio personality Cam Black once again correctly picked a winner in yesterday's NASCAR event, as Chase Elliott won last night's race. Cam, good job. Chase Elliott.
Thank you.
Wins at Charlotte.
Thank you. That's two out of four.
Cam's heating up. He lost me a bunch of money, and then now he's getting good again after I've quit betting on NASCAR. So shout out to Cam for picking winners, and now he'll suck me back in, and he'll go on another cold streak.
Bristol next, too.
Yeah, they're coming to Tennessee. It'll be the first live sporting event in Tennessee in quite a while, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How about that?
When is Bristol? This upcoming weekend, I guess? Or?
Yeah, it's this weekend. Should be.
Did it get Sunday. Pushed back? Are they still doing it on Sunday since the rain delay? Or?
Yeah. That I'll seems like a quick check on that. But
that seems like a quick turnaround.
Yeah, at least Charlotte's not like super far from here. So maybe they don't really care, but yeah.
Bruce Pearl is pitching the idea that bringing athletes back to campus first will give Auburn a chance to do some trials and errors. Some trials and some errors before deciding if and how to bring back the entire student body during the fall. So Bruce Pearl has decided that he thinks it's a good idea to use the Auburn athletes as guinea pigs to see how it'll affect the rest of the student body.
Thoughts on that?
I don't know. I mean, if anybody can hold up well against the virus, it'd be the athletes, right? I guess that's what he's thinking.
I mean, I think he just wants them back because he's ready to put them back to work.
Yeah. Some trials and some errors is what he calls it. Well, how bad are the errors going to be? I think that's what we're concerned about
here. I think you got to bring back every student that's on a full ride, no matter what they do.
Yeah.
Science students who have grants and all that, bring them back too. So you can't just bring back the athletes. You got to bring back everyone getting money from the university.
Bruce Pearl in favor of bringing back the athletes first. So I guess we'll see how that goes. Which I don't think they're going to do that, but that's just what Pearl said about it. Did you see the report from Dan Wolken talking about the offensive lineman, the obese offensive lineman?
No.
And how they line up with the CDC's at-risk population?
No, wait. Okay, so the offensive line. So just all offensive linemen?
Wolken,
or?
Yeah, Wolken did a piece on offensive linemen.
Is the CDC, are they going by like the BMI chart? Because I would imagine almost every football player is going to be registered obese on there. But
yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Wolken was looking for some content, looking to shake things up.
So offensive linemen are going to be at risk just because they're big, I guess? That's the take there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He's been one of the guys that's, you know, big proponents of not, you know, of taking things slowly and trying to, I don't know if we should come back to campus and play.
I wonder how
he'd
feel if he lost his job.
Who, Dan Wolken?
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't care.
No, I said I wonder how he would feel.
If he lost his job?
Yeah, like his job is tied to sports. Like I wonder like if he
probably wouldn't feel good about it.
If like sports didn't come back and he got fired and laid off and didn't have any money, how he would feel.
He would probably not feel good about it.
Okay.
Kind of going in with that also, Patrick Peterson. Apparently he has diabetes. Do you know that?
Nope.
Well, that could impact his decision to play during the pandemic.
Is he at risk, I guess, because of that? Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, Patrick Peterson has diabetes, and that might force him to decide whether or not to play should the NFL return to action this season in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic.
Interesting.
Apparently, he's got type 2 diabetes. He was diagnosed during the 2014 season.
Okay.
He said if proper protocols are followed, such as temperature checks and wearing masks and gloves, he'll be comfortable playing. But he said, if I feel that it's the safest thing to do to come back to work, I'm all in. But if it's not, obviously I have to make a very, very smart decision, because you don't want to have the opportunity to bring that back home. So he's living with diabetes.
Okay. I wonder how many other players will also say, like, hey, this isn't worth it for me.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's some other guys that have underlying conditions like that, you know. Asthma. You know, there's asthma and stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Okay. You got any other headlines?
That's enough for now.
All right, good batch. We'll dive back into some more Tennessee news and continue that discussion from hour one. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. We are looking forward to the weekend so we can party and party and yeah. Five-star junior Kennedy Chandler. We've talked about him, Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Five-star that was in Memphis that Tennessee has really wanted to come play basketball and be the point guard of the future. At least if that future is only 1 year. He will play his last year of high school basketball. Yeah, at Sunrise Christian Academy in Kansas instead of in Memphis. He is leaving the city of Memphis and going to Sunrise Christian Academy in Kansas.
So he's transferring high schools.
Correct.
Well, I respect his decision. Did he have a final four or five schools? Did he
for high school? No, I don't think so.
Put their logos up.
Nah, I think Sunrise Christian Academy is a big time school where a lot of D1 players go to play.
Do they?
I think Jonas said wrote in saying that 76 Division I players have played under their current coach, at this school. So I think he is just going somewhere that can get him max prepared, I guess, for college basketball. He'll also be playing with Paulo Banchero. That is another five-star that Tennessee is after. A big-time power forward.
That'll be a package deal.
The number four player in the country.
That would be all right.
Well, I believe, if you look at Kennedy Chandler's comments, he says, they went on a visit together, and they have been talking about teaming up and playing in college, and they have three common schools on their final list: Kentucky, Tennessee, and Duke. I don't know if Paulo's actually going to that high school or not. I might have misspoke there, but something to keep an eye on. Is it good to get him out of Memphis at least? Although I don't know if Memphis is really a threat. I feel like, you know, this could be ever-changing, but I feel like it's Tennessee or Duke is kind of where I think it's at.
Well, I mean, when you're talking about, the schools you got to go up against for a guy like him, I mean, it would make sense that it would come down to Duke.
And I guess Kentucky could get in there, but I feel like it's just Tennessee and Duke. Maybe I'm wrong there.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't personally feel good about it myself, but from everything you've said, though, I mean, it seems like they have a good relationship with him and everything. So I just don't know why you'd come to Tennessee if you could go to Duke or Kentucky and, your goal is to get to the NBA. We're not really some kind of NBA factory, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know, you know, maybe if you're as good as Kennedy Chandler is, maybe you're not as focused on just going somewhere that can get you best suited for the NBA.
Because you know you're going to the NBA anyway.
Because you know you're going to the NBA anyway.
Well, maybe. I mean,
guards can, you know, go somewhere where they have the ball and they're the unquestioned guy. You know what I mean? Like, and they can go and showcase that wherever they are. I mean, look no further than John Morant going number two.
Yeah, he was from Murray State.
From Murray State. Like, you can, you know, not Isaiah Thomas, but Markelle Fultz at Washington, you know, is up there with no help, and he went number one overall.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Simmons went to LSU. So, like, the big-time athletes can go there, and at point guard, usually find their way no matter what. Now, obviously, you know, you go to Kentucky, and you can look at John Wall and Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe, and there's some other point guards who have gone and done that, but I think point guard is a position where you are going to get the ball no matter what. Now, I would say that Duke and, you know, the Jones brothers have had a pretty good run recently. But Tennessee, do you have a lot of confidence in the point guard for Rick Barnes? Because I feel like it's been a while since he's had a point guard that was a first-round pick. Like,
no.
I don't want to go. DJ Augustine, is that the last time you have to go back before Rick Barnes had a point guard draft in the first round?
I would assume.
I mean, I know you had TJ Ford, but TJ Ford was before DJ Augustine. I want to say it was Augustine.
Yeah, that's been 15 years ago.
Jordan Bone, draft in the second round. That's the only point guard he's had Tennessee get drafted. Everything you read or have read, I guess, since Rick Barnes got to Tennessee has been about how hard it is to play point guard for him. How tough and challenging it is.
Maybe that's what a guy like that wants, though.
Maybe you'll find someone who wants to be coached that way and wants to be ridden and groomed, but usually those are the 3 or 4 year guys, not really the one and done guys.
Yeah, you would think that a guy like that would seek other outlets.
You got a
He could just go to the G League.
It was
probably what I'd do.
I keep saying that's one of my concerns is that Tennessee is going to get him and he's gonna say, you know what, I'm gonna go make $500,000 instead.
Yeah, if I'm him, I'm probably just go to the G League.
Corey Joseph, that was the one in 2011.
And he was first round?
Yeah, pick 29, so snuck in there. But, yeah, that was the most recent point guard.
Okay, Corey Joseph. And he's been solid in the league, too. I mean, he's had a career. I did not know he was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
How long was he in college? I mean, I guess I'm putting him on the spot. He was there for one. Okay, so he was one and done.
Okay.
And went in the first round after having 10 points, 3.6 rebounds, and 3 assists. Shot 41% from 3, I guess, so maybe the shot was there, but that's weird that he went in the first round. Didn't feel like he did enough in college. Like, I mean, that was the last one, and, okay, he was a 10-point game scorer, 3 assists. I would hope that this Kenny Chandler guy would be better than that.
And if you consider Avery Bradley a point guard, he was also drafted before DJ Augustine, or more recently.
I think of him more as a two guard, but either way, a guard at in Rick Barnes' system. But I think of him more as a two guard. And he was also one and done.
Yep.
Where did he get drafted at?
19.
Okay. So Barnes has had some guards go pro, and that was what, 2010? 2010, and Joseph was when?
11.
Okay, so back-to-back years, you had a one-and-done guard. Okay. I mean, it's been a while. It's been 10 years, but.
Yeah. I mean, after Corey Joseph, he only had one guy drafted before he came here.
Would that be Miles Turner?
Yeah.
Okay. So. Okay. So, like you said, Cody, it would be tough to look down Duke and North Carolina, even though North Carolina doesn't have as much NBA success recently as these other guys. Look down Duke and Kentucky and be like, yeah, I'm going to go try my luck at Tennessee. But credit Tennessee that they're even in the mix, and, you know, some people think a leader. Some people think they have a really good chance. Some people think they're in the driver's seat. It's a credit to them and a credit to Kim English. But he's getting out of the city of Memphis, the state of Memphis, and the state of Tennessee and going to Kansas. Some people consider Memphis all their states. So I said
it kind of is. Memphis is an interesting part of the country. I don't know. I'd much rather be in Memphis than Kansas, though.
Yeah, Paolo is not going to that high school.
What's that?
that guy, the other five star.
The guy you said he's going to be with, the power
forward? Well, I said that the guy they want to play with and been on teammates with, I had said he might be going to that high school, but he's not. No, he's staying up in Washington. And
Kansas.
Wichita.
Wichita. What an awful place. That's one of those places that you just can't defend. You know how we got listeners all around the country, and occasionally I'll say something bad about a state, and they're like, well, actually, Utah's fantastic. I know we got a guy in Iowa. He's like, well, actually, they're this and that and this and that. Kansas, one of those places, just can't defend it. You just can't. I have been there. Kansas City, not a bad city, but, you know, it's in Missouri. So it's just the worst state you could ever think of. You couldn't even dream it up worse.
I have no defense.
No one does.
I have no defense.
Unless you are a windmill and you're looking for freedom, you got no argument in Kansas. Or if you're a tornado looking to cover, get as big as you can, maybe.
But you wouldn't be able to hit anything.
No. No.
Not really.
No.
70% of 1,000 people have said that they will take the 9-3 season.
I'd rather live in Afghanistan than Kansas.
70% basically have said lock it in, 9-3.
Win over
Florida as your big win of the season. Losses to Oklahoma, Alabama, and Georgia. Lock it in.
I'm not locking it in. You started telling me about how small Oklahoma's defensive line is, and now I am fully on board of rolling the dice.
I mean, their run defense wasn't very good last year when you look at the actual, like, metrics. Like, they were ranked 32nd in the country in terms of, you know, you look at the old gen stats, but when you look at, like, their actual success rate and stopping explosive plays and doing, like, the actual running, like, being able to stop the run when you have to stop the run type of thing, they were very bad at that.
Mm-hmm.
And I like our offensive line, and I like Eric Gray, and I'm just not punting that game. But 70% of people disagree with me. Cody, if I give you one of the four wins, which one are you taking? And of course, you know which big four I'm talking about. Oklahoma.
Ooh,
Oklahoma, Florida, Alabama,
gosh,
Georgia.
Yeah, you didn't have to tell me.
I was telling the audience. I know you have
I would
a big
hope
brain.
Even they knew.
Well, some people
I
aren't
know, obviously, I have a huge
some
brain.
Some people aren't Tennessee fans. Some people aren't Tennessee fans. We have people that listen that aren't Tennessee fans, believe it or not.
And I appreciate those
And they
those
tell
people.
Us they appreciate me and you because they say, I don't want to hear Tennessee all the time, and we don't give you Tennessee all the time.
I appreciate
But
those
we're giving
people.
Them Tennessee right now. So in case they're unfamiliar with the schedule, well, I just wanted to tell them.
The what?
The schedule. Well, Oklahoma, Florida, Alabama. Georgia, Oklahoma, and Georgia on the road. Florida and Alabama are
I mean,
at home.
You,
which of the four are you taking, Cody McClure?
As much as you want to beat Florida, you got to say Alabama.
Alabama, lock in Cody for Alabama.
Yeah,
Cameron?
You have to.
I'm taking Georgia.
Cam's from Georgia.
Yeah, I would like to go back and take over Athens again.
I think I would take Georgia, too.
Over beating Alabama?
No, I'll beat Alabama.
You know how long it's been,
though. I know, but Georgia, they just have a one-game lead ahead of us now, right? Or is it two games now in terms of the all-time record?
It's really close.
All-time series. I want to catch that. We go head-to-head with Georgia more than Alabama recruiting. And there's an outside shot that could be for the East. I mean, I guess if you've lost those other two games to Alabama and Florida, it might be unlikely. But 6-2, three-way ties, like we've won those before. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't think you can pick Georgia. Like, Georgia probably does you the most good as a program in terms of gaining ground and cementing your place back at the top of the division.
Okay.
Maybe Georgia does you the most good there, Georgia or Florida. But think about the sweetness. We've never beaten Nick Saban.
Smoking cigars. As we were smoking cigars, ESPN would be like, this is unhealthy. This is so bad.
Especially amidst a global pandemic.
As they were lining up with Alabama last year.
Imagine actually being able to light that cigar. You've taken that cigar into the stadium for what, 12 straight years? Oh God, it's 14, 15 straight years now, and you've never been able to light it. 14 years ago. Think about that. You're 42 right now, guy listening. You're 42. You've been taking that cigar in since you were 28, and you haven't been able to light it against Nick Saban. Now you're telling me you're going to be able to walk out of Neyland Stadium with a lit cigar at the age of 42? I don't know about you, but I'm taking that. I'm taking that. To finally get one on Saban and Alabama, all the misery, all the pain, all the 45-14s, the 49-10s, the 56-7s. I don't know if they ever beat us 56-7. I think they got 59 on us 1 year. You got
59-7 seems familiar, but I don't know.
You got to take
that. Maybe it wasn't
that
bad.
You've got to take that. Put the nail in his coffin, you know?
Officially retire Saban.
Now, sure, you're getting him on the way down.
He still got him, though.
But to get him.
He still got him, though.
To get him and
I mean,
for,
you can make a documentary about it. Like, we let Michael Jordan parade around about getting the Bad Boys Pistons on the way out. So, like, this will be Jerry Pruitt's passing of the torch. This will be his big key moment of his documentary. You know, I can never beat Saban. Well, I love Saban. I couldn't beat him the first 2 years, but year three, we got him.
Well, and especially you think about that he is from Alabama, you know, and he was under Saban and he was a prodigy. Also, would that not be the first time an assistant under Nick Saban has ever beat Nick Saban?
That is correct.
I'm pretty sure that's a stat. We've already got people tweeting in. Brad says, I'm literally speaking to him because he'll be 42 when that game is played this year. Think about it, Brad. You haven't lit a cigar since you were 28, Brad. 2006, that's the last time we beat them. Just off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure. 2006, because Saban got there in 07. We won the East that year, and they still beat us like 41-14 or something.
I'm not going to sit here and act like I don't want to beat Alabama. I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even saying you haven't convinced me, because you're very convincing.
I can be persuasive. You have to be if you're a guy like me. You have to be.
We're not that much different, you and I.
You probably got it a little easier.
Georgia for Cam, Alabama for Cody. Is there any case for Oklahoma making a statement at the beginning of the year? Because, like, we're not guaranteeing losses in the others. I don't want to say we're guaranteeing losses. You're not going 1-3. You're just the one win you want the most. There's no real case to make for Oklahoma, right? Like, just to beat up on a Big 12 team, make a statement to the country, be catapulted into the top 15, be the talk of the nation for a week.
That's all dandy, but it's not beating one of the big three. Okay. Philip Fulmer said it best. Sure. We hired this guy to beat Florida, Georgia, and Alabama.
Sure.
It's always been about Florida, Georgia, and Alabama.
I understand.
Can't even make the case for Oklahoma.
Okay.
I don't think.
The only case I would make is that you would become the talk of the country for a week.
But you'd be nice.
And that you'd be riding high, and you would go into Florida ranked in the top 15. And if we do have fans in the stands, like, that will be – you'll get the sellout that we didn't get in 2018, right, whenever it was just like 90,000 people there.
Yeah.
Like, you will get that – you will get Florida's attention, and you will feel good about yourselves going into there, and that you could win both of them. The mark against Alabama and Georgia is that it's later in the year, right? You've already got through those other first two games, or first three games in Georgia's case. But that also is a benefit for Georgia, if it means something.
The other thing I keep thinking about is if you simply beat Alabama or Florida, which is not simple, but, you know, you lose to Oklahoma and then you split those games. You just beat one of them. That game in Athens in November should be for the East. That's the thing I keep telling myself.
Say that one more time.
All you got to do is split Alabama and Florida.
That's all.
That's all you got to do.
Which, I mean, look, both of them are at home.
Yeah, you beat one of them.
And then we'll lose to Will Muschamp.
Well, now that's a thing you got to think about.
Then
but
we'll lose to Will Muschamp at South Carolina.
I'm working on the assumption that
you're... Damn Will Muschamp.
I'm working on the assumption that we're going to take care of business against the inferiors.
Feels like 2016.
Which may not be safe to assume. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, you take care of business against the inferiors. You can lose to Oklahoma and Florida or Alabama. But if you go into that game in Athens with one conference loss, it is for the East in November. Playing for the division in November. Now, that's got a ring to it, doesn't it?
That's a great ring to it.
When's the last time that happened? you know?
I think it's a good discussion. I think it's a good question. Jesco says third Saturday in October should be a thing again. His votes for Alabama. Doug says you can always excuse losing to Saban, but I'll be damned if we lose to that cuck Mullen anymore. I think that's a vote for Florida.
Yeah.
Keegan says was going to tap Florida, but Knoxville would burn to the ground if we beat Saban at home.
It really would.
Julian says a win over Alabama would be so sweet. I don't think we've had a close win against them. We had 2015.
We've had two.
We had 2015.
And 2009.
And 2009. Damn, that's a long time ago. 2009. Oh, that's one of our two close games in over a decade.
That's, yeah.
And last year was quasi-close.
2006 was 14 years ago.
Ross says it's Georgia for the Russell factor. Just kind of rustle the feathers. Make Georgia fans mad. Get Georgia fans upset.
What's that?
Georgia for the Russell. R-U-S-T-L-E. Russell, like Russell Feathers.
I thought it was ruffle the feathers.
Oh, yeah. What is it?
Pretty sure it's ruffle the feathers.
Yeah, rustling.
Russell's shaking like bushes. Yeah, ruffling is what birds do to.
Yeah. Russell would so be to shake.
What is Russell doing? Yeah.
It is to like.
Russell is like something moving feathers, but
rustling them, I guess, kind of similar.
Ruffling would be messing up.
Rustling and ruffling kind of close though? I feel like if you ruffle somebody's feathers, you're also rustling them.
Well,
they call it ruffling
feathers because when birds get upset, they like ruffle their feathers.
So you're upsetting them though. Exactly. So I mean, like if you rustle somebody, you're also shaking them and bothering them too, right? So
yeah.
I mean, it's sort of close.
Similar,
I guess you could say that. Yes.
Well, no, you can't say rustle the feathers. I made a mistake there.
Did he say rustle the feathers, or
he
did he say ruffle?
Just for the Russell factor.
What is the Russell factor?
That's why I assume the feathers.
Let's look up definitions.
I just did for Russell. Make a soft,
crackling sound. Oh, so like Russell Smith.
Round up and steal cattle and horses or sheep. I thought that was wrangle, but I guess.
Make a soft, muffled, crackling sound. Is that like the sound of a fire?
What is the wrangle?
It's caused by the movement of dry leaves or paper. So
yeah,
you're rustling paper.
Yeah, that sounds like it's like a bush or like plants.
Shh, 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 shh. You know, like you're flipping through some papers. Shh, shh. There you go. Like
that's
that.
I thought wrangling was the same thing as rustling, but either way. Poor says it's Alabama, period, and I think we're close. I think we're going to do it. Christian says he agrees with you. Beat Florida or Bama, and Georgia's for the East most likely. So I guess that's a vote for Georgia, maybe?
There's also Ruffles chips. You ever have Ruffles?
Against my will a couple times.
You don't like Ruffles? They're good dip chips.
Yeah.
I think they're good for if you got like a sour cream and onion dip.
I don't usually do that, though.
Or a French onion dip or something. I bet you hate those, don't you?
No, they're okay.
Really? Like sour cream and onion dip?
I've done that before.
Or like a French onion?
It's been a while.
Ranch dip? I always looked at you as a guy that didn't like white dips. I don't know why. I just assume you didn't like white dips.
I don't particularly, but if people have it out, like I will take some scoops of it. But I don't do it myself.
What is your favorite dip?
I like chips and hummus.
Hummus, yeah.
Just dipping some chips and some hummus or some bread and some hummus. I like that.
Some pita bread?
Yeah,
some pita bread and hummus. Warm pita with some hummus. I don't want to say nothing better because there are things better, but that's pretty good.
Okay. What are this or that topics today, Cameron?
All right. So we got, would you rather have an elite run game?
I asked the question. I just hadn't got to. Okay. So elite run game.
Elite run game of, you know, below average passing game or an elite passing game.
Okay.
Below average run game. You got what's the better drink, lemonade, sweet tea? And would you rather get the feeling of watching your favorite movie again for the first time or your favorite TV show?
Okay.
Sounds good.
We'll play some this or that coming up. Stick with us.
This. This.
All right. Are y'all ready to play the debate segment known as this or that?
Yes, I am.
How about you?
I am. Yes. All right. Let's play.
You're in the hole, so.
I'm aware.
No.
I'm aware of my hole.
No. Don't go in here thinking that he's in a hole, that way you have to let him win.
He knows I'm in a hole.
Snap and clear. Today is Thursday.
Also, don't let him reverse psychology you with this whole thing he's doing.
I'm just making sure everybody's on their game.
He's a fair judge. He's always a fair judge.
Today is Thursday. Trivia was 2 days ago. He's not in a hole. Let's go.
If there's one thing I know about Cam Black, it's that he's a fair judge. He's a fair judge.
Thank you, Cody.
You're welcome. I'm ready to play.
All right. First up we have elite run game or elite pass game?
Elite pass game. That's how you win in today's football. I would have said elite run game for a long, long time, but you know what? The game has changed. The game has evolved. And with the penalties that now get called on opposing defensive backs, it is harder and harder for them to cover elite receivers. We talked about it yesterday. I'm making a point here.
I just want to ask before we go, are we doing college, NFL, both? What are we doing?
Just do whatever football you in general.
Want. Okay.
Do whatever you want to do.
Go ahead.
Do whatever you want to do.
High school.
Do whatever you want to do.
I'll go with high school.
Do whatever you want to do.
Pee-wee football. Go ahead.
Well, pee-wee football, I'd take the run game if we're talking pee-wee ball. I think we're talking higher levels of ball here. I'm going to assume we're talking college, NFL, higher levels of ball. Look, we talked about it yesterday. Quarterbacks and elite receivers are the winning model in today's football. Are they not? Quarterbacks and elite receivers, you've got to be able to put up points. Let's look at college. The best teams over the last 2-3 years, Alabama, Clemson, LSU, what do they all have in common? They all have in common a great quarterback and big-time first-round receivers. LSU torched teams last year, put up 50-something points a game, maybe the best team we've ever seen because their pass game could not be stopped. Nobody cared what they did on the ground.
Can I interject here?
I know they had Clyde Edwards-Hilaire.
Can I interject here because you've had your time?
I haven't really had all my time yet. I had more things I wanted to say.
Go ahead.
I'd like to point out Alabama's quarterback and receivers, Tua Tagovailoa, Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, first-rounders. Let's look at Clemson, the guys they've had, T. Higgins and Trevor Lawrence. The elite teams have elite quarterbacks and elite wide receivers. You typically forget about their running game. They can have a solid running game, too, but the big passing teams are the teams that win. Same with the NFL. Two best quarterbacks last year, the two best teams coming into this year. Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Pretty much everyone has accepted Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback. I don't think it's a coincidence that they're going to be the team to beat in the NFL over the next 10 years.
You done?
Please continue.
I just want to say that everything Cody said should be thrown out because the stipulation was elite pass game with a below-average run game. He talks about LSU. He talked about Joe Brady. Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow, you know, pretty good runner himself. And in the national championship game, Clyde Edwards-Hilaire ran for 110 yards on 16 carries. That does not seem like below average to me. LSU had a good running game the entire time. If you're just looking at elite passing and below rushing, that gives you a team like Washington State. And who wants to be like Washington State? Not I, said the fly. So if you're going to have below average of the other and elite
give me
a run game.
You're not taking below average. You're simply flipping my entire argument around to fit your own argument. You're not taking below average. You're taking bottom of the barrel in Washington State. It's an air raid offense. They never run. We didn't say you can only pass or run.
I understand that. I'm simply saying you're pointing at
you're using an air raid offense, you're pointing at elite teams
like Clemson and LSU to prove a point, and you know,
well,
Clemson, why are they elite? Travis Etienne and Trevor Lawrence were pretty good at running the ball. Deshaun Watson when he was at Clemson,
how about this?
LSU had a really good running back. Excuse me, sir. I gave you five minutes to talk. Allow me to speak because
go ahead and make your point about the 49ers. Go ahead. I'm waiting for it.
Cam, just correct me if I'm wrong. Did LSU not have a running back go in the first round?
They did.
So can we everything you
last.
said
last position
everything
in the first
you said
round.
Is a 30 farce. Second. Everything you said is a farce and a joke. You do not win if you are elite passing and you can't run the ball. You have to be able to run the ball. You can get by without having elite passing. You want to talk about elite run games and below average passing? I will show you the first two national championships that Alabama won. Elite running, below average passing, didn't matter. They could move the ball
in
whenever they needed to. National champions.
In 2009 and 2011, right? What year is this? It's 2020.
Give me the
You're going to pretend the game hasn't changed in 10 years?
Give me a team that won the national championship without being able to run the ball.
You're going to tell me the game hasn't changed in 10 years?
Give me one. I just gave you some. Give me one.
Everybody runs the ball somewhat. Everybody runs the ball somewhat.
Below average.
Here's a team that'll fit your argument. Best running team in the NFL last year. Who was it? Who was it? Please tell me. Who had the most
team that went 14-2.
Please tell me.
The Baltimore Ravens that went 14-2.
I would say it's the San Francisco 49ers.
The team that made it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and you know what happened in the Super Bowl? They went up against an elite pass game and they lost. They lost. The elite run game went up against the elite pass game, and the elite pass game won the Super Bowl.
I think you're underestimating.
Who are you taking over the next 10 years?
I think you're underestimating Kansas City's rushing attack.
Every team runs the ball.
We're looking at
great point by you. Every team runs the ball.
The point is below average. You are missing the whole point of
I'm
the
not
argument.
Missing
this is
anything.
Not passing versus running.
Okay.
This is what can you do if one's elite and the other's below average.
Okay.
And trust me, you want to have the one where you can run the ball because it controls the rest of the game. Having an elite passing attack but not being able to run the ball will eventually get you beat like it has Mike Leach's entire career. That's what
You're
happens.
You're picking out an air raid offense that doesn't run the ball
That's an elite team. That's a team that's elite at passing and below average at running.
When you say below, yes, they're below
that's
average.
That's the point.
They
that's
are as far
argument.
Below the average. I can get a team closer to the average.
Please find one.
Well, let's look at LSU last year, shall we?
Again, first round running back, 110 yards of the national championship. Joe Burrow could run whenever he needed to for big yards.
LSU was seventh in the SEC in rushing last year. 166 yards a game. That's the epitome of average.
So it's not below average, you would agree.
Okay.
So even at your best, it is not below average. So thank you.
Okay, yeah. Seventh out of 14 teams. So exactly.
We're running out of time. Yeah. I also want to point out the Chiefs ran for 100. Damian Williams had 104 yards in the Super Bowl.
Where did the Chiefs rank in the NFL in rushing last
17
year?
17 rushes, 104 yards for a touchdown.
Can you tell me where the Chiefs ranked in the NFL in rushing last
Only
year?
Only smooth brains think that statistics for season long mean that they can't
Yet
do it.
Yet you've
it
just based your entire argument on trying to do statistics. Every argument you base on
Not
statistics.
Not for season-long statistics. I'm talking about big games. The teams could run the ball. They had first-round picks.
Look at who wins.
Damian Williams
look
had
at the
17
rings.
Carries for 104 yards.
Mahomes
had 286 yards and two touchdowns. It was the run game that kept him in it. What are you talking about?
And what are you referring to?
In the Super Bowl. Mahomes wasn't good in the Super Bowl. He was 282
he was
yards, two touchdowns, and
was
two
good
interceptions.
When it mattered.
And Damian
good
Williams
when
it mattered. Was 17 carries for 104 yards and a touchdown.
Well, you know who
the run
you
game
know
kept
he,
them afloat. What are you talking about?
You know
about?
How he got there? They got there off the pass game. You know who didn't do that? Jimmy G. And Jimmy G didn't win a Super Bowl.
They also didn't run the ball against the Chiefs.
And your whole Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing, the guy was drafted 32nd.
Yeah, first-round pick.
32nd.
First-round pick.
I got to go Cody here.
That's absolute nonsense.
Thank you.
That is absolute nonsense. He didn't make one point. His whole point was built around LSU and Clemson, who are both good at running the ball. What are we talking about here?
They're average at running the ball.
The key was below average.
I don't know if you know this.
Below average. You didn't make one point.
Slightly below average and average are pretty close to the same area.
You didn't make one point that was with the argument.
It's
one
always,
point.
Always the loud
you
guy.
You didn't make one point.
Loud guy always thinks he's right because he's loud.
You didn't make one point about the argument.
Your volume's not helping the results
You didn't
change.
Make one point about the argument.
Your volume's
You didn't make one.
Now you've lowered your voice. It's still not changing the result.
And it's fine. The audience knows.
They know. Yeah, they do know.
The audience
they
knows.
Know who won.
All right, next up we have Sweet Tea versus Lemonade.
Lemonade's better. Sweet Tea's gross.
Okay, that's a good argument, I guess. I'm going to go with Sweet Tea. I think Sweet Tea's better. I think Lemonade is too sour. Lemonade's too sour. Problem with Lemonade, it rarely gets made right. A good lemonade, fantastic. Rarely does it have the right amount of sugar versus the right amount of water versus the right amount of lemon. And when you get too much lemon, nothing worse than a sour lemonade. You know that feeling you get on your teeth from the sour lemonade? Don't like it. So unless you have the perfect lemonade, it's tough. Whereas on a sweet tea, you can get it all. Like, there's more room for improvement with lemonade than there is sweet tea. As long as it's got some sugar in it, even if it's not too sweet, I like sweet tea. If it is too sweet, I don't like it extremely sweet. I'm just saying that you can get it right easier with sweet tea than you can lemonade. Lemonade, you got to be more perfect to get the right taste. Sweet tea, all you need is sugar and tea.
They're both gross, and people just mix them half and half because both of them suck by themselves.
See, I think Arnold Palmer's are no good, but I like one or the other myself. I like sweet tea either. Or lemonade.
Well, I don't like the Arnold Palmer or the iced tea. Sweet tea, I go with the lemonade.
You do? Didn't you just say they're both lemonade. Gross?
They are both gross, so I'm saying between the two, I don't really drink lemonade either. They're both garbage.
Have you ever gotten a lemonade that's just real, real sour, though?
I don't know.
You just didn't like it all that much because it was so sour?
I've had more lemonade that I've liked than sweet tea. I've never had one sweet tea that I liked.
You ever? Is it too sweet for you? Or
I don't know what it is. Enough? It's not even the sweetness. It's just the taste.
Yeah.
It tastes awful. It smells awful. The smell of sweet tea is disgusting. It's very gross.
I'll say another benefit with sweet tea is it has more caffeine. So at least you can, like some people drink tea instead of coffee. It can get you going a little better than just regular lemonade, which is just sugar. Just sugar and lemons. And again, the sour aspect, I don't like its sourness. The sweet tea, you can get it perfect. It's great on ice, great on a summer day.
Lemonade at least gives you your dose of vitamin C. It's healthier in that respect. Gives you some vitamins.
Vitamin C?
Mm-hmm.
I think you can get that from other places too.
I'm sure you can, but not from sweet tea.
Maybe not. Although, you could have a lemon wedge with your sweet tea. A lot of people like lemon in the sweet tea, which I actually prefer that.
So you need to take the lemon and put it in the sweet tea. So you need to take a part of lemonade to put in the sweet tea to make it better.
Well, no, just a
hint. I don't put any tea into my lemonade to make it better.
Well, you just said you'd make an Arnold Palmer. You literally just said you would.
I said I don't make those.
You said you would.
No, I didn't.
I think he said he
would.
No,
I didn't. I said
I think you said they're both gross. You might as well just mix them.
No, I didn't. I said that's gross.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I said most people mix them because they're gross, but the Arnold Palmer is still gross. I said, but I'll drink lemonade. I do not drink Arnold Palmer. I do not drink anything with tea in it.
Difference in a hint of lemon versus having a half and half it, you know. That's all I'm saying. I like a little caffeine.
So you like putting lemonade in your sweet tea to make it better?
No, no.
That's what it sounded like. You said you put lemons on it.
That's not lemonade. That's a little hint
an
of
ingredient
lemon.
Of lemons.
A hint of lemon.
An ingredient of lemonade.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's also got water in it.
The main part of it. Like lemonade. Lemon.
It's also water and sugar.
Lemon. Lemonade. You put lemon in your sweet
Comes
tea.
Comes down to, do you prefer sour or do you prefer a nice tea? I like to read the tea.
I got to go, John, here. I don't think you really made any points, but... You put a lemon in your sweet tea.
The
key here is just not to make good points, and you win, apparently. So that's the key to this game with this judge.
TV show or movie? First time.
No matter what happens, it's going to come down to what Cam likes. That's essentially what it is. Movies, I mean, the first time I watched The Avengers, man, my life changed forever, and I wish I could just relive that on repeat. There is nothing like going to the movie theater. They don't have a TV theater. You go to the movie theater, you're strapped in with all your friends, and man, when those superheroes come across the screen, and you just remember the first time you saw Iron Man and Captain America and the boys, and now the Black Panther's in it, and you're like, my God, I wish I could just inject this into my veins to feel over and over and over again. Movies, for sure. My favorite movie, The Avengers. Very important. Nothing's ever made me feel as good as that.
Boy, you kind of boxed me in on that one, didn't you? I got to go TV show. I've long said the way Game of Thrones made me feel for the first time, the way that The Sopranos made me feel for the first time, to actually get invested into the television show and to be able to follow that character depth throughout season after season after season, you get more attached to your characters, and to me that's more of an emotional connection than simply one movie. And unless you had a series of movies, but for this particular argument, isn't it just one movie?
Yeah, I'm just going with The Avengers.
Just
the
one
movie, The Avengers, yeah.
Right, so that doesn't include all the other movies.
No, I'm just talking about my favorite movie, The Avengers.
I understand what you're saying.
A cinematic classic and how happy it makes me feel every time I see it.
I don't think you love it for the Avengers. I think you love it for all the movies.
The thing about the TV...
Which is more like a TV show when you think about it with the character depth over several.
The thing about the TV shows would be like, when you're saying your first time, is it like... The first time you watch the show, or like the 45th time you've watched an episode, and like you have the same feeling. Like it's just, you have that feeling for years. You don't want that. You just want the one euphoric feeling. You want the immediate high of a 2-hour and 30-minute ride of your favorite movie just hitting you on that big screen. Like I said, keep in mind, they don't have TV
theaters. I like
to
be a little more spaced out. I like to get my high over a period of time, which is what TV shows and movie franchises, for that matter, would do for you.
Yeah, including my favorite movie.
But not one singular movie. So when you're thinking,
that one,
when you're thinking 23 movies, I think you got to categorize
the
that more with like TV show, wouldn't
harder.
You? Because that's
no,
more of a
no,
long term. I know they're movies, but it's more of a long term thing.
Those are movies.
When you really think about it, it's,
so really the movies can do everything the TV shows did. If you think about it,
TV shows
are kind of pointless. When you look at it that way, that's not a bad point, but that wasn't really the argument.
No.
It was more just about favorite movies versus favorite TV shows.
I don't think so. I don't think
and
that's what you...
about,
I think God Cam knows you were trying to pander to him and that the Avengers are not really
about,
your favorite movie.
I love it.
No, you don't.
Don't tell me what I do and don't love.
I'm just...
The feeling
I
of
know.
Watching that the first time...
I know that
time,
you don't love
I
it.
I wish I could shoot it into my veins every morning before I wake up.
Just because you're pandering doesn't mean... I mean,
the feeling of watching your favorite movie... is special. It's something that sticks with you.
I could say the same thing about a TV show.
No, you can't.
I just did.
You didn't say those same things at all. You said you like character depth.
I do like character depth.
You didn't say anything about the same things I just said, so don't say you did.
Don't say you like the Avengers.
I love the Avengers.
You're lying.
I'm not.
I think you are.
Okay, I guess we've made our points. Cam?
We're in disagreement.
I gotta go with John here. It definitely, he did describe the movie feeling very well there.
Yeah.
I can basically visualize that.
Cam is the worst
myself.
Judge ever, the most unfair judge I've ever seen.
Hour two in the books, hour three on deck.
Volunteer Vodka is a homegrown, award-winning spirit